Grace to you all, mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, this week, vineyards in California were on fire. If you watched the news and saw the kind of hellscape that exists there at this point with the tremendous wildfires burning, you might wonder what is going on. It's difficult to watch the news these days and not wonder if we are facing the apocalypse. We face a highly contentious and divisive election, complicated by the coronavirus. Many of us wonder if the nation will survive the election and the political rancor that pervades American life. We're concerned about the candidates' abilities to lead the nation when we face existential threats like COVID-19 and climate change. The ecological crisis is indeed frightening, and not just in far-off places like California in the West where fires are burning, but on our coasts where lands are flooding, and in the middle of the country where there are tremendous and significant droughts that are causing problems for farmers. From massive storms and floods to droughts and wildfires, we are both vulnerable now and uncertain about the future. Scientists predict that current disruptive weather patterns will only get worse, more intense, and more deadly. We are experiencing climate refugees in our own country as hundreds of thousands of people are displaced by wildfires and storms this year alone. Some places are becoming uninhabitable, even before the sea level rises that science anticipates. It has become abundantly clear that we are not masters of our own universe. We are not in control of our own fates. And there are forces at work, both internal and external, that are more powerful than we are. We must realize during this time our finitude, our limitations, and our boundaries. And when we hear these readings from this morning as parables of judgment, we can't help but wonder, what is God trying to tell us? How do we live in hope at such a time as this? The biblical readings this morning take us into the vineyard, take us to the root and the vine, the ground and the fruit. This agrarian or ecological language reminds us that the Bible was shaped by agricultural people. From beginning to end, the Bible places people and God within an ecological creation, full of life, full of trees and soil and fruits and grasses and creatures. Israel, God's people, were identified by the prophets and the psalmists as the vineyard of the Lord. But instead of producing grapes, the prophets tell us they produced wild grapes. That is to say, Israel was not living in obedience to God's law. Israel was not bearing fruit. Israel had rejected God as the source and therefore did not yield or bring forth the fruit of God's kingdom, of God's creation. Israel had gone astray. The consequence of Israel's sin is that Israel suffered. The land itself was laid waste and did not produce food. They suffered drought. It became full of weeds and thorns. They were doing battle to live as a sustainable agricultural society. In other words, you reap what you sow. Climate disruption caused by human pollution and overconsumption eventually harms us through unintended consequences. Jesus took the same idea and applied it to the religious leaders in his day. He talked of a vineyard, but introduced a new character, the vineyard tenant. These tenants refuse to honor their relationship with the vineyard owner. When slaves are sent to collect the harvest, they beat and kill and stone them. When the son is sent by the landowner, the tenants plot to kill the heir and take the inheritance for themselves. There is so much violence perpetrated by these tenants. Jesus suggests that the religious leaders are like those wicked tenants. This parable, misunderstood, has led to Christian anti-Semitism, blaming Jews for Jesus' death, leading to violence against Jewish people. But this parable of judgment is not meant to be used as a weapon against others, but as an indictment on ourselves, a mirror telling us the truth about our sinful destruction and distortion of the loving relationship we are called to live in with God, our Creator, and the whole creation. Perhaps an agrarian or ecological reading of this parable could help us. We acknowledge that an ecological reading of the Bible, for most of us, is kind of new. We are so disconnected from the land, the natural world, and our food sources that we assume the Bible is about humans and for humans, almost exclusively, as if we are the center, the main characters, and the primary actors in the text itself. But what if the Bible is actually about the entire creation, the entire earth community in relationship with God, the creator of life? And what if our sin has real consequences, dire effects on all creation, including ourselves, effects that perhaps even anger God? What do these readings suggest then? We are not owners of the vineyard, yet we do violence to it, to one another, to the earth, as if we are entitled to do as we please here. God has entrusted much to God's people, including a sacred and essential relationship with the earth and the land and with creation. God has imbued us with gifts to be caretakers and keepers of the earth, a vocation that we too often reject or have ignored. But God has even sent God's Son to restore us into right relationship with Him, with one another, and with the earth. We live in a delicate and critical balance, an ecology between humanity and the rest of the natural world. Wild vines become a vineyard when they are tended by tenants, by good tenant farmers. We are called to share the harvest entrusted to us so that life might be sustained. We are temporary custodians, tenants of the land, including the 3 acres of land that sit behind this building. It does not belong to us, and at some point we are required to return it to the rightful owner. And so this weekend, we plant 200 trees, most of which will outlive us and provide benefits to generations that will come after us. We are planting black gum trees that can live up to 700 years. Who knows who will be here in 700 years, but these trees will be here. We know that what we do this weekend not only benefits humans, but is also an essential part of the natural world. We plant trees that include pollinator species critical to our own food system, currently under stress due to habitat loss. Due to too many paved parking lots and manicured lawns and not enough trees and meadow grasses. But this weekend, we dare to say by faith that God is in fact restoring this land to its natural state with our help. When we place ourselves within an earth community as both recipients and servants of creation, we bless the Creator, and we bless one another, and we bless all creation. Today also happens today to be St. Francis of Assisi Day, 13th century Italian saint known for his love for creation and the Creator. And Pope Francis recently said this: "We also need once more to listen to the land itself, which Scripture calls Adama, the soil from which man, Adam, was made. Today we hear the voice of creation admonishing us to return to our rightful place in the natural created order, to remember that we are part of this interconnected web of life, not its masters." I'm reminded today, and maybe by the news at large and by the work that we do together, that we are part of an interconnected web of life. And I'm reminded that when we today, on the sacred grounds behind us, plant 200 trees, we are taking action. We are taking an act of hope. We are making an act of hope against a dying world. For hope is to plant something that will far outlast and outlive us, but will continue to give and contribute long after we are gone. May we enjoy the vineyard of creation, share its bounty and beauty, serve the needs of all creatures, and give honor to the Creator by planting trees that give hope and healing. And remember something that Luther purportedly said: "If the world were to end tomorrow, I would still plant my apple tree today." Amen.